is safe, that there is any greater privilege than sacrifice, that radical is anything but normal? Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous. Faithfulness is not holding the fort. It's storming the gates of hell. The will of God is not an insurance plan. It's a daring plan. The complete surrender of your life to the cause of Christ isn't radical. It's normal. It's time to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. It's time to go all in and all out for the all in all. Pack your coffin. Chapter 2. The Inverted Gospel. In the 16th century, the Renaissance astronomer Nicholas Copernicus challenged the belief that the Earth was the center of the universe. Copernicus argued that the Sun didn't revolve around the Earth, but rather that the Earth revolved around the Sun. The Copernican Revolution turned the scientific world upside down by turning the universe inside out. In much the same way, each one of us needs to experience our own Copernican Revolution. The paradigm shift happens when we come to terms with the fact that the world doesn't revolve around us, but that's a tough pill to swallow. When we are born into this world, the world revolves around us. We're spoon-fed on the front end and diaper-changed on the back end. It's as if the entire world exists to meet our every need. And that's fine if you're a 2-month-old baby. If you're 22, it's a problem. Newsflash. You are not the center of the universe. At its core, sinfulness is selfishness. It's enthroning yourself, your desires, your needs, your plans, above all else. You may still seek God, but you don't seek Him first. You seek Him second or third or seventh. You may sing, "Jesus at the center of it all," but what you really want is for people to bow down to you as you bow down to Christ. It's a subtle form of selfishness that masquerades as spirituality, but it's not Christ-centric. It's me-centric. It's less about us serving His purposes and more about Him serving our purposes. I call it the inverted gospel. Who's following who? Most people in most churches think they are following Jesus, but I'm not so sure. They may think they are following Jesus, but the reality is this. They have invited Jesus to follow them. They call Him Savior, but they've never surrendered to Him as Lord. And I was one of them. Trust me, I didn't want to go anywhere without Jesus right there behind me. But I wanted Jesus to follow me, to serve my purposes, to do my will. It wasn't until I was a 19-year-old freshman at the University of Chicago that I had my Copernican Revolution. It started with this question: Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? That's a dangerous question to ask God, but not nearly as dangerous as not asking that question. I got tired of calling the shots. Honestly, I wasn't very good at playing God. Plus, it was exhausting. I stopped trying to find myself and decided to seek God. I couldn't read His Word enough. I got up early to pray. I even fasted for the first time in my life. I meant business. In fact, business as usual went out of business. For the first time in my life, I put Him first. On the last day of summer vacation, I got up at the crack of dawn to do a prayer walk. Our family was vacationing at Lake Ida in Alexandria, Minnesota. The dirt road I walked down may as well have been the road to Emmaus. The cow pasture I walked through may as well have been the backside of the Sinai Desert with a burning bush. After months of asking, I finally got an answer to my question. I knew what God wanted me to do with my life. On the first day of my sophomore year, I walked into the admissions office at the University of Chicago and told them I was transferring to a Bible college in Springfield, Missouri, to pursue full-time ministry. The guidance counselor thought I was crazy. So did a few friends and family members. Giving up a full-ride scholarship to one of